So if we live in a world where some things are too big to fail, does that mean that some things are too small to succeed? Is it possible that one person really could make a difference and change the world? Is it really possible? Sometimes we have thoughts and doubts and questions about that very idea, and as we're in the middle of our series on making a difference, it's one of those questions that we wrestle with. I mean, we think, well, I like the idea, but really, Marty, really, can we really make a difference? I mean, there are so many people who have so many gifts and abilities and skills, and they're already doing really important things, and it's easy for us to compare ourselves with them and say, well, I don't have those gifts, abilities, and skills. Shouldn't I just let them take care of making a difference? The truth is, however, you are already making a difference, whether you recognize it or not. You are already making a huge difference. Did you know that when you deal honestly with your neighbor, when you are kind to those around you, when you speak and seek the truth, that you are making a difference in your community, in your school, in your workplace, in your state, in your country, in the world? Listen to something that God says about Jerusalem to the prophet Jeremiah. And God is about to judge the entire nation of Israel, and specifically the city of Jerusalem is about to be judged. And in the fifth chapter, the first verse of the book of Jeremiah, God says this: "Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive the city." Just one. One person dealing honestly and seeking the truth can make the difference for an entire community. And we are more than one this morning. Edward Everett said this: "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." You know, history is full of accounts of single individuals who made a huge difference. Think, if you would, for a moment about famous military battles that have turned on the axis of one heroic act, one heroic person. Or think of artists and their contributions, people like Michelangelo and Da Vinci and Brahms and Beethoven, or scientists or inventors or explorers or technological experts who literally changed the course of history. Or think about those courageous preachers who were inspired to share truth and to make a difference in their time. People like Augustine and Tyndale and Luther and Calvin and Wesley and Spurgeon and Moody and Graham. They were people who took seriously the idea that one person could make a huge difference. This week we're going to go to the polls to vote, and I encourage you to vote. One vote can make a difference. In 1654, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Jackson from impeachment. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes control of the United States presidency. On a tragic note, the power of one, in 1923, it was one vote that gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. And in 1941, 12 weeks before Pearl Harbor, it was one vote that saved the Selective Service System. When we read God's Word, we read over and over, not about great armies that accomplish things, but time and time again, we read about the power of one. One person who made a difference, one person who was faithful in their time and place, and God used them to do something amazing. And what's really amazing about those stories is most of them were unlikely candidates. When we went through the story, we talked about how that the only really good choice, likely candidate, the person we would have ever picked was Noah. Remember, it said he was the most righteous man in the whole world. and he got picked for the job. Most of the other people were not the people we would have picked to accomplish the mission. God likes to use unlikely candidates to do incredible things. But sometimes we fail to believe that God could use us to make a difference. There was once a missionary couple named the Bakers. They served as missionaries in Indonesia, China, and Mozambique. In Mozambique, they adopted a dilapidated orphanage and began taking care of children, and in time, they began to take care of over 1,000 children a day. Karen Baker, this famous missionary, once said this of this journey she was on. She said, the whole journey began one day when she was stateside, and she recognized that there was one person in her life who needed her care. And she committed herself to do what she could do to take care of the one. And as she was faithful in taking care of that one, God led her to another one who needed her care. And in time, God led her to take care of thousands. I really believe, she said, that if we receive this pure heart of Jesus, we will start to see the one in front of us. They will be the one you can touch. They will be the one God put in front of you. The implication of her words is that we can each make a difference by making a difference in the life of one other person. Jesus was so good at this. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 19, and we're going to take a look this morning at one of those favorite Bible stories that we learned when we were children, the story of Zacchaeus. It says that Jesus entered Jericho, and as he was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. One of the things that I love about Jesus is Jesus was involved in people's lives. He took time to be involved in people's lives. And it was a characteristic that made him unique. Other people would have walked past the lepers, but Jesus stopped to engage them. Other people would have walked past the cripples at the pool of Bethesda, but Jesus stopped and took time to engage them. Other people would have neglected or ignored the children that were running and scurrying about in the community, but Jesus said, no, let the kids come here. I want to be with them. Jesus took time to be present for the people who were around him. He was involved in their lives. I love those stories about Jesus and how he got involved in the life of people that were beggars, people who were prostitutes, people who were drunkards. Jesus had a way of engaging every person where they were, whether they were the most intelligent scholars like the Pharisees, or they were the most uneducated of fishermen. He had a way of getting involved in people's lives. It's been said that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And Jesus was good at communicating that he cared to people around him. As we talk about making a difference, I want you to understand something. God fully intends for you to make a difference in the lives of your friends. God fully intends for you to make a difference in the lives of your neighbors. God fully intends for you to make a difference in the lives of your family. God fully intends for you to make a difference in the lives of your coworkers. You see, Jesus used every single relationship that he had to touch people's lives and to make a difference. And we must follow his example, his model. What's interesting to me is so often we're afraid that the people that we're going to won't receive the message that we want to give them. Now, you have heard me in the last of these sermons, at the end of the sermons, all through this campaign, be a cheerleader for our Friend and Neighbor Day coming up here on the 16th of November. And I'm excited about it. It's going to be dynamic. We made up those business cards to pass out and give to people. And I share with you, we were giving some out at Halloween, or we should say on the ice bowl that we had here this week on Friday night. And we were giving those things out. Well, my little boy, who's six and downstairs right now, he saw the big bowl of cards. And he's kind of into cards, trading cards, and all these different kind of cards they have today. And he knows that we're trying to pass those out to invite people, especially our friends and neighbors. So he said, Dad, yesterday, he says, Dad, I want to go out and pass out these cards. Now, I got to tell you, I'm your preacher, and I know I should be the guy who's rah, rah, yeah, I'm going to hit every house in my neighborhood, but on the other hand, there's a part of me that thinks it might be nice if they didn't know I was a preacher, just a regular person, right? Here's my little boy going, Dad, let's go share this with these people around us, our neighbors. He's excited. I mean, he's so excited, and I don't have it in my heart to crush the spirit of my son, right? So I said, you know what, let's go. Let's go hand out those cards. And he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to invite his friends to come be with him at church. He was so excited about it. And we went from house to house, and we finally got down to one of my neighbor's houses, and he handed that card to his little friend, and the mom was there. And then the most incredible thing happens. You see, we're usually afraid that people don't want to hear what we have to say, and it's going to be some kind of imposition on them. Do you know what we got received instead? Oh, wow, this is great! This is exciting. This would be something we'd really like to do. In fact, hang on a second, Eli, she said. And she ran inside, and because it had been an ice bowl for trick-or-treat night, there was this overabundance of candy. And she came back with this huge thing, and she said, Eli, here you go. Thank you for what you've done. That's so generous, inviting us to church. Take this with you. Now, I got to tell you, to a six-year-old, he thinks, wow. Talking to people about Jesus really pays big time. Now, isn't that just like God? Right. To show a young child that it's a good thing to tell people about Jesus? You see, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus wanted to meet him. And there are a lot of people that are around you that aren't trying to run from Jesus. They're trying to run to him, but they're a little confused on how you get there because there's all kinds of messages out there today. And unfortunately, they don't all really lead to Jesus. But Jesus gets involved in people's lives, and he learns about people, he knows people, and he sees people. And my prayer is that we have eyes to see as Jesus did. For when Jesus reached the spot, it says he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. I love this story because Zacchaeus ends up throwing a feast and giving away all his money. I mean, he sees Jesus. And this incredible thing happens. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus throws a party and he sees Jesus and incredible things happen. He opens his heart to Jesus and it changes Zacchaeus' life. Listen to what it says. It says, all the people who saw him began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, people need Jesus in their life. He makes life better. It changed everything for Zacchaeus when Jesus was in his life. It was the thing he'd been waiting for. This was a divine appointment, a holy moment. And Zacchaeus didn't miss that. When he got in the presence of Jesus, every single thing in his life changed. I mean, the truth is, he was called a sinner because he had cheated people out of their money. I mean, could you imagine what that day was like when he started going back to people he'd taken money from? Here, I know I took 1,000, but I'm going to give you 4,000 back. I mean, I'm guessing most of them were pretty excited about that, right? It's a pretty incredible day. And I don't know how much money he had and how many people he had cheated, but it says he also gave half of his money to the poor. You get the impression that he's just walking down the street giving out dollar bills, right? It's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, some people might say, Zacchaeus, boy, he really got kind of radical. I mean, what was up with that? I'll tell you what was up with that. When Jesus is in your life and your heart, you're going to do some pretty amazing things. Amen. And people might say, what in the world got into him? Jesus. A recent email asked readers to reflect on the following questions. Name the five wealthiest people in the world. Name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. Name five people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. Or name the last five Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Actress. Or perhaps for the sports enthusiast, can you name the last five World Series winners? Now, as you reflect on those questions, you quickly realize that there are very few people who would know the answer to even one of them, let alone all of them. But the email goes on to ask another set of questions. Can you think of a few teachers who made a difference in your life as you journeyed through school? Could you name five friends who have helped you through a difficult time in your life? Could you think of five people who've taught you something worthwhile? Can you think of some people who made you feel appreciated or special? Could you name five people that you really enjoy spending time with? Or could you name some heroes whose stories have inspired you? I'm sure you get the point of the email. The people who make a difference in our life usually aren't the ones with the most credentials. They're usually not the ones with the most money. They're not typically the one with the most awards. The people who make a difference in our lives are the ones who care. The ones who get involved in our lives. Jesus made a difference by getting involved in people's lives. He got out among the people and he cared for the people. Jesus was a person who had a genuine ability to change lives. As we think about this Christian walk that we're a part of, it seems to me that we are called to be like Jesus. We are called to make a difference. In the book of Jude, that short one-chapter book, there are some interesting passages that we read there. But in verse 20, it says this, "You, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire, and to others show mercy mixed with fear." It seems to me that in being like Jesus, these are the things that we're about. We're about these things that Jude has called us to be about. Some have even speculated Jude perhaps even related to Jesus himself. He says, these are things that matter. Pray for the people who are around you. I love something that Kyle Eidelman, the minister at Southeast Christian Church, frequently says to his congregation. He challenges them to pray the news the next time you hear it. If you're listening to the radio or you're watching TV and you see the news is up there, pray for the news, whatever you see. The president's face, pray for the president. A family who's lost a child, pray for the family. Whatever the difficulties that you see, to pray. Listening to the radio, we've all had that happen. We hear those stories that trouble us when we hear them. To pray the news. Then he goes farther than that. He says to pray the block. Here's what he means by that. When you get in your car and you're driving to work and you go past that neighborhood, instead of just driving by it and not noticing, to pray for the people in that neighborhood, whatever that neighborhood is for you. to pray for the places and in the places that you find yourself. Ever tried this? Here's a challenge. Next time you're grocery shopping, to pray the grocery shopping. When a person walks past, they don't have to know you're praying for them. Lift them up. See a mom that's struggling with her kids or a father struggling with a child? They need your prayers, right? They have kids. Pray for them. We can make a difference by praying. One of the things that really inspires me about Ogleville Christian Church is that you've overcome so much. You've overcome so much. The journey here is one that's truly inspiring, and people across this area and region are starting to take notice at what God's done here. But what inspires me in big part is that the church, after experiencing more than a decade of decline, some horrific kinds of loss and troubles that came upon the church, that you entered into a season of intense and intentional prayer. And I am told that in those days, even before my coming, that frequently there would be days that this whole front area would just be covered with people on their knees praying for the church. And that prayer has continued to be a hallmark of this congregation. I came to Ogleville 17 years ago when I first started coming to our elders' meetings here, and I didn't have the stamina to get through the prayer sessions. I would fall asleep because these guys would pray for hours. They would be praying they'd go around, each person would pray 30 minutes, and I could tell you, if I was at the end of that two-hour session, I was in trouble. Because these were people of prayer. And it's not the length of our prayers that matters, but I just communicate to say that prayer was really important to what happened here. I mean, it's exciting to look out today and see the place packed. It's going to be really exciting in 2 weeks to figure out how we're going to get everybody in. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be amazing. But it's all predicated, and it begins with the fact this is a praying church, and prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a big difference. And now you're not just a church that inspires the people of our area. You do inspire others. And now your preacher gets opportunities to go and speak, and people say, what's going on at that church in Ogleville? How do they grow year after year after year after year? What's happening there? Tell us your story. Well, it's really pretty simple. You just pray a lot. And you have people who are committed to the mission of Jesus Christ. And they're trying to live out their faith in real ways and make a real difference for their neighbors and for their family and for their coworkers, for their friends. Jude says, pray. Pray and show mercy to those who are around you. And in doing so, you might just snatch some people, he says. What he's saying? You might just be able to save people from the fire.